The Ash Tree by M.R. James. Everyone who has travelled over eastern England knows the smaller country houses with which it is studded. They're rather dank little buildings, usually in the Italian style, surrounded with parks of some 80 to 100 acres. For me, they have always had a very strong attraction, with the grey paling of split oak, the noble trees, the meres with their reed beds, and the line of distant woods. Then I like the pillared portico, perhaps stuck onto a red brick Queen Anne house which has been faced with stucco to bring it into line with the Grecian taste of the end of the 18th century. The hall inside going up to the roof, which hall ought always to be provided with a gallery and a small organ. I like the library too, where you may find anything from a Psalter of the 13th century to a Shakespeare quarto. I like the pictures, of course, and perhaps most of all, I like fancying what life in such a house was when it was first built, and in the piping times of landlord's prosperity, and not least now, when, if money is not so plentiful, taste is more varied and life quite as interesting. I wish to have one of these houses, and enough money to keep it together and entertain my friends in it modestly. But this is a digression. I have to tell you of a curious series of events which happened in such a house, as I have tried to describe. It is in Castringham Hall in Suffolk. I think a good deal has been done to the building since the period of my story, but the essential features I have sketched are still there. Italian portico, square block of white house, older inside than out, park with fringe of woods, and mere. The one feature that marked out the house from a score of others is gone. As you looked at it from the park, you saw on the right a great old ash tree growing within 6 yards of the wall, and almost or quite touching the building with its branches. I suppose it had stood there ever since Castringham ceased to be a fortified place, and since the moat was filled in and the Elizabethan dwelling house built. At any rate, it had well nigh attained its full dimensions in the year 1690. In that year, the district in which the hall is situated was the scene of a number of witch trials. It will be long, I think, before we arrive at a just estimate of the amount of solid reason, if there was any, which lay at the root of the universal fear of witches in old times. Whether the persons accused of this offence really did imagine that they were possessed of unusual power of any kind, or whether they had the will at least, if not the power, of doing mischief to their neighbours, or whether all the confessions, of which there are so many, were extorted by the cruelty of the witch-finders, these are questions which are not, I fancy, yet solved. And the present narrative gives me pause. I cannot altogether sweep it away as mere invention. The reader must judge for himself. Castringham contributed a victim to the auto-da-fé. Mrs. Mothersole was her name, and she differed from the ordinary run of village witches only in being rather better off and in a more influential position. Efforts were made to save her by several reputable farmers of the parish. They did their best to testify to her character, and showed considerable anxiety as to the verdict of the jury. But what seems to have been fatal to the woman was the evidence of the then proprietor of Castringham Hall, Sir Matthew Fell. He deposed to having watched her on 3 different occasions from his window at the full of the moon, gathering sprigs, and I quote, from the ash tree near my house. She had climbed into the branches, clad only in her shift, and was cutting off small twigs with a peculiarly curved knife, and as she did so, she seemed to be talking to herself. On each occasion, Sir Matthew had done his best to capture the woman, but she had always taken alarm at some accidental noise he had made, and all he could see when he got down to the garden was a hare running across the path in the direction of the village. On the third night he had been at the pains to follow at his best speed, and had gone straight to Mrs. Mothersole's house, but he had had to wait 1/4 hour battering at her door, and then she had come out very cross, and apparently very sleepy, as if just out of bed, and he had no good explanation to offer of his visit. Mainly on this evidence, though there was much more of a less striking and unusual kind from other parishioners, Mrs. Mothersole was found guilty and condemned to die. She was hanged 1 week after the trial, with 5 or 6 more unhappy creatures at Bury St. Edmunds. Sir Matthew Fell,